What does it take to become a master? Find out on today's episode of ATA Nation.
Sir, I will live with perseverance in the spirit of Taekwondo. Courtesy for fellow students. Integrity within myself. And to become a black belt leader. Welcome to the ATA Nation Podcast.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Master Zach Hayden. I am your host. Thank you for tuning in. We are so thankful for all of you who tuned in to our last episode and are now here for episode number 2. We are bringing you a little information about what it means to become a master in Sangam Taekwondo. In this episode, we're going to do an interview with master nominee Ken Hoops. And just for those of you who don't know, it usually takes at least 20 years of training in Sangam Taekwondo before you can go through the process of becoming a master. So it is a huge commitment. It's a huge endeavor for individuals, and it's really a special thing. So we're going to get started right away with our interview with master nominee Ken Hoops.
Special guest interview.
ATA Nation, we have with us Master nominee Ken Hoops. How are you today, sir?
Hello, everyone. I'm doing well, sir. Thank you for the opportunity to be part of this.
Yes, sir. We are really excited. Over this year, what I'd like to do is interview a couple of different master nominees. You are a 6-degree black belt, and you're getting ready to go through, or you're starting the process of becoming a master. And so before we get to that training and what you're thinking about that, could you tell us a little bit about how you got started in martial arts?
Absolutely. I'm sure it's similar, at least to many of the people that, you know, started in their youth. But my personal background, and my parents split when I was real young, and that so much didn't necessarily affect me in any ways like that. But what it did affect was the ability for my mother, who was a single working mom with trying her best to raise two kids. She was always the activity bus. She'd bring me to the baseball field over on this side of town. And then have to race across to drop off my my older sister for softball practice. And, she's always willing to do it, but that didn't leave a lot of opportunity for her to sit, be able to sit and watch or enjoy. So, mid-90s, post-Karate Kid martial arts boom, we started in a, many have heard of it. It's National Karate. They're kind of popular throughout the Midwest. And we started there and did what would have been their introductory program, couple weeks, couple bucks. And it was good, but I was about 7 years old at the time. So I was in there with the younger kids. My sister was a few years older. So she and my mom actually got to train together, and that's what I think what the missing piece was. It was still something that we couldn't all accomplish there. So, we kind of shifted there. We knew that we liked it, but it wasn't the right fit for us.
Yes, sir.
And, where my mom, was working, was a health club. And, it was kind of, not like a ritzy country club, but, their clientele was, a little bit older. A little bit more advanced in age, and it was one of the first in the state of Minnesota, actually, ATA clubs that started way back in the mid late 80s, kind of in the boom there.
Yes,
and
sir.
We met our instructor, or my first instructor, it was a great fit. It was something we could all do together. And we kind of got to resume that in a way that made it possible. And my mom, being the ambitious person that she is, was able to kind of get into a leadership role. She started started up the Tiger and Karate Kid program.
Oh, wow.
And as they say, the rest is history. And being being a school owner today, I still get to, not only share that as doing this, not only with my team and all of our students, but all those years later, my mom still kicking, still coming in on Saturdays to retire class and show the new generations how it's done, how we did it back. With virtually no tools.
Yeah, that is awesome. What a great story. Yeah. Especially getting to do it with your family. Your mom still involved. My mom was my very first student when I opened my school. So that's a super neat thing.
Yeah, my mom was our cleaning lady many mm-hmm. years, and now I can actually afford one. So shout out to Kaizen Cleaning.
I saw that online.
For keeping
today.
Our mats
yeah.
extremely clean, and that's a story of his own of its own. One of our students, very very similar situation to ours, and not only her getting involved in martial arts and experiencing the personal growth, but then finding her niche in the martial arts and the business world.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, maybe we'll have to interview her sometime. That'd be fun.
Definitely.
So you are embarking on the journey of becoming a master. When you started martial arts, did you ever think, hey, I'm going to be a master?
I think the thought was always there. I know it was a dream that my mom had. Mm. And, so she's a fourth degree. We always say, fourth degree with experience, one that's, probably been ready to test for the last 10 years.
Yes,
but,
sir.
The last several years, she's been dedicated to seeing our school grow. And, she stepped, we bestowed upon her the title of grandmother. Mm. And she's taken the ball and run with that one. So,
that's awesome.
I think her greatest passion right now is not so much being a master, but right now one thing that was born out of COVID was she picks up my son from school on Tuesdays. They come to the school and then they Zoom with my two nephews that live in Vermont. Mm. So I know your family's young yet, mm-hmm. but as good as we can be with teaching kids, getting kids that lack discipline, focus, and confidence, it doesn't necessarily work on our own children that well. They kind of see through they know what we look like when we wake up in the morning. So they're not intimidated by our black belts.
Yes, sir.
But I to answer the question, I think it was always there. I think when you're young, it can seem so far away, mm-hmm. But the closer you get in the journey, the more real it can become. And finally getting that that email and you read master nominee Ken Hoops for the first time, that has a real surreal feeling to it. So
yes,
I'm sure you felt the same several years back.
Yes, sir.
And just every day it just feels more and more real.
Yes, sir.
I think like many people do, especially, many people of faith, they maybe struggle with that. I've heard stories of, Chief Master Isaacs, being a pastor and, struggling with that word master. But, I think a lot of us toy with it. But now I think, and one of my senior instructors always said it too, at this point, we do it more for our students than we actually do for ourselves. And, I think most of us definitely are deserving. And I just feel honored to be, part of the process, especially during a time like this, which mm-hmm. really challenges other nominees like yourself, many others as well. We have to come together. We have to be tighter and stronger than ever.
Yes, exactly. Well, I I am lucky that I get to kind of see in on your journey as I am going through the senior master process this year. So it's neat to get to like see it from like, I remember doing this and I remember doing that. And this year I know the Master's Council and Chief Master DeLeggy, they are, and Grandmaster Emeritus Soon Ho Lee are working on kind of a revamp of some of the mastership process things, which I think is really cool. And I know you've gotten your February kind of assignments as you start the process. What have you thought about that? What have you been doing physically, mentally to start that whole process?
You know, really, it's I think... if I some advice to my younger self, right? Begin with the end in mind. I wish I would have done, you know, a little bit more, you know, prior to it so I could be ready to step into it. But, you know, excited to read a lot of the books, excited to embark on a lot of the experiences.
I know you are working on a project to try to bring the way of traditional Taekwondo philosophy book that ATA produced years and years ago back to be a little more prominent. I know you have a copy. Is that one of the first books you've dove into? Kind of, I'm sure you've read it before, maybe, but to read.
Yeah, I mean, I had it before, and you know. You know, skimmed it, referenced it many times, but just, you know, it's kind of the nature of, you know, many books. They always, you know, come and go. There there are not a lot of I believe they're referred to as perennial sellers, but you know, the thing about the way books is for so many people, even you know, masters and probably even some of the senior masters by now never got to personally meet Eternal Grandmaster Lee. And, you know, I think that is kind of like that book right there. That's kind of like your Sangam Taekwondo baptism, if you will. And, you know, that basically is your confirmation. And,
for sure.
you go through that. You have such a deeper understanding of, you know, what was set out to be accomplished. And, you know, it's a breath of fresh air. I would encourage, anyone that hasn't picked it up in a while, you know, to dust it off and, you know, read through it at least, you know, once or twice every couple of years. You will be so much reminded, not only of why you're doing what you're doing, you know, kind of the path, not even really the path, the highway that was paved for you, that is Eternal Grandmaster's vision.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, I really think that, you know, anyone, whether they're just starting out or whether they've been doing this for a long time, they need to hear that too. And just throughout the years, I don't think any fault to anybody. It's just not been as readily available. And maybe it's something that, you know, they just weren't selling that many copies of down at World Martial Arts. So they decided to, you know, focus on some other products.
Yes, sir. There are things inside of that book that have changed, that have evolved, that are not quite what they were. But what's neat is that, you know, even if you go back to the scrolls of Song Om, they talk about this evolution, you know, about things changing. And so I can go back and read the philosophy book and go, hey, look at this history. And here are the part of the weave that is the same. And here's part of the weave that has changed a little bit. But get that history behind it as well. That is just, I mean, it's just fascinating to experience and to read. And like you said, so many of us younger, you know, who started at a young age, maybe in the 90s, you know, my interactions with Eternal Grandmaster were pretty few. I didn't get a lot of, you know, one-on-one time or really get to interact a lot with him where I did, you know, the other grandmasters. And that, like you said, that book is a great connection point to our history.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, one of the things that we're working with to, you know, doesn't need to be an updated, rewritten version, but just something that's a little bit more accessible for, you know, the current generations. And, you know, I think it gives a lot of other instructors and school owners tools to not only broaden the physical training that a lot of our students do, but, you know, kind of the philosophical journey as well. And, you know, so however we're able to do that right now, it's, you know, we're still working on, you know, how we're going to get permission to do that. The one thing that nobody enjoys is a cease and desist letter from an attorney. So, you know, we want to make sure that we have the permission of, you know, the Leave family and ATA. And it's one thing that our specific master's class is working on is, you know, bringing that to people via an audio version or even a PDF version. And, you know, if it's anything, the one wish that I have is it's kind of twofold. Yes, future generations have access to this content, but also too, it could be something that can even fuel the fire too for, you know, the recipients of HU Lee Foundation scholarships. So portions of, you know, the revenue go to, you know, not only the physical and personal growth training that our students experience, but helping them further their knowledge as well, which I know Eternal Grandmaster Lee was very adamant about all throughout his career.
Well, and that's a great, I love that your master's class is looking at that as a project to take on. I know many people don't realize that that part of the mastership training is also doing some kind of service project, doing, you know, something that can help. A lot of times there's an involvement with the HU Lee Foundation or your local community, things like that. You know, they're just another part of becoming a master. That I think this project for you guys could be a really neat thing that like you said touches generations to come.
Yeah, touches generations to come in a climate where touching is not appropriate,
not allowed, so, not supposed to do that.
Thanks, COVID.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, and I just you know we all want to you know. Maybe legacy is the cliche word in the martial arts, especially within the ATA, but we all want to leave something behind that's bigger than ourselves and, you know, not just the classes that we taught or how many black belts that we generated, but, you know, something of a bigger purpose that, you know, hey, again, I don't think many of us will have a greater impact than Eternal Grandmaster, but if we were, I believe maybe the word is the confluence where the work that we did introduced people to the work of others.
That's a great goal. I love that. I think, you know, that is some of the attitude that is, showing mastership. You know, you mentioned earlier, you know, deserving or whatnot with mastership. I always have, as I started through my mastership process, I was like, who am I to get, you know, you have a little imposter syndrome sometime, you know, sure. I look up at these great masters, these chief masters, these people, I'm like, they're going to let me into this club. Are they, what are they thinking?
Yeah. You look at the first, you know, 10, 15 masters, you know, that's an impressive list.
Yes,
that would
sir.
Be, I mean, that's the Mount Rushmore of the ATA. And then some.
Yes, sir.
You know, so who am I to be in this club? Like you said, and yeah, no, it's a great honor. But more than anything, it's an opportunity that, you know, I want to be so present for. I want to be so in the moment, and you know, to be able to look back. I mean, right now we're talking. You know, I just went and trained with my instructor last night, and you know, I bring my son along, who's, you know, right now he's the same age I was when I started. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we get to sit and have a little windshield time together. And,
yes, sir.
You know, it's those opportunities. And I know so many of us miss right now. This is the same route home, you know, we take from coming back to many of the tournaments here in the Midwest, you know, Sioux City, Iowa, and Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and especially our big Region 114 training camp. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, right now, I feel like I'm talking to you, and the car knows the way, because, you know, we've been on these roads so many times. But, you know, right now it's a very prominent time in my life where, I want to be fully present and, you know, be able to kind of sit back and take some mental screenshots, if you will, so that I can remember this and, you know, help walk my team through it when it's their time.
Yes, sir. Well, having gone through it, I realized partway through the process, you've got the process of becoming a master. And then when they dub you, it's like when you got your black belt. I just started my journey to black belt. Like I just became a black belt, but the process of becoming a black belt takes place when you're a black belt. And it's the same thing, I think, a little bit with mastership. You go through the process to prepare yourself, and then, like, you get dubbed. That's not the end of this journey. Like, now I have to really work towards continuing to improve to be a master of instruction and a master in my own life and things like that. So it's a great journey. I'm really excited about watching your guys' class go through it.
Yeah, and, you know, we couldn't be more honored to be doing it in the time that we are right now. I could only imagine 20, 25 years ago, you know, they didn't have social media. Mm-hmm. They didn't have Facebook. They barely had email. And most of our instructors still barely know how to use email. But we love them.
Yes. Well, yeah, I mean, it's great. Your guys' class, you know, you have your Facebook group. You guys are discussing things. I saw that you're doing some accountability training through Zoom. So you guys are getting together, which is, you know, this connection that we've had with Zoom, though, is not the in-person connection that we can't wait to have when it's Worlds and Nationals, you know, and we get to all be back together again. But it has added this new element where your guys' class is going to get to train together. Some of you guys are going to get to train together a ton more than any other class has done.
Yeah. I have a good friend that always says connection over perfection. You know, we have not in any means been dealt the perfect hand right now, but you know, we all, as instructors, we all know how to bluff, right? Hey, did that instep round kick hurt? Nope, not at all.
Nope. It was fine. I'm good.
But, I mean, just playing it for what it's worth. And yeah, I threw that out there, you know, last week, and hey, nobody took me up on it, but that's not going to stop me, from the future, or in the future. And, you know, I think, just the channels, the outlets, the platforms we have to use right now, even just getting ready, you know, to test for my sixth degree, being, you know, my senior instructor is a 3.5 hour drive. Remember that, students, you don't realize how good you have it. So, you know, a lot of that I relied on, you know, hey, I'll send you this line of my form. And he'd get home from teaching his classes every night, and while he's soaking in his hot tub, he'd review it and, you know, let me know what I need to be working on. And they just didn't have that 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that's why you trained for 12 hours so you could get it down and remember it and go teach it to your students.
Yes,
but
sir.
Now we have so many tools to use that. Our students have that. As well, too, we have for all of the members at my academy in Minneapolis, you know, we have every video, not just the form, but segmentation broken down so that You know, our students aren't learning other people's bad habits on YouTube. They're only learning our bad habits.
Yes, sir. Yes,
or at least the way we teach them.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, and I think that helps, you know, deepen our students' connection to ourselves as well, because they want to be able to see that. And we hear so many stories, you know, whether they come in or they tell us on Zoom, hey, my whole family, we hooked the device up to our smart TV. We all did Sangam 2 in our basement together, and it was a lot of fun. And I mean, those are the new things that we're going to hear about, that are going to, you know, create memories and bring people joy. And that one moment right there might be what keeps them involved or deepens their affection that they have towards martial arts. And, you know, that I think that's when we know that we did our job correctly.
Well, and that's, you know, that could be the story they tell, you know, to somebody on some crazy podcast in 20 years when they're getting to go through mastership. You know, I mean, that could be that link.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
As we wrap up, can you, what one piece of advice would you give, or a piece of advice that you would give the students out there in ATA Nation that are, you know, that are out there training? You know, they might be a color belt or an early black belt, and they see this mastership process, and they're like, "Whoa, that's cool! That's so far away." What would piece of advice would you give to that person about their training?
Well, first of all, I would say every black belt is an early black belt, right? Mm.
True.
And if that doesn't hit you right away, then I would just say I was not the person that made every testing. You know, I had several times where I took time off, other sports, other reasons, and I know many others will too. Very few, I'd say it's 1%, never miss a testing all the way up. Mm-hmm. And you got to be okay with that, because you're on your journey, not anybody else's. And, you know, it can be discouraging when the people you train with maybe get a few belts or steps ahead of you, which was the case for me. But I see those people now, and they say, "Hey, remember we took class together?" And I say, "Yeah, still taking it, by the way." And you know, some of them I'm even teaching their kids now.
Yes,
so
sir.
You never know just where this journey is going to lead you. And sometimes you do feel like you need a break, but then sometimes the old saying, "Absence makes the heart grow fonder." Sometimes you just don't realize how much you love something until you're back and doing it again. And that was especially true for me at, you know, about age 14, 15, I wanted to have really long hair and play really terribly loud music in my parents' basement. And I got all that out of my system. And, you know, I just happened to be, you know, at the old Taekwondo club walking by, and you know, poked my head in, and you know, it's kind of like, you know, I got to dip my toe in the pool all over again, and it's like, you know, just don't realize how much you miss this. So and if I can give one more word of parting wisdom, it would be if you don't have one, and I all my students when they enter my leadership program, I give them, you know, a little field notes journal, with our logo on it. And, you know, I always endorse the first page to them. And, you know, I usually talk a lot about not only a great journey they're about to embark on, but, you know, how many people they're going to inspire along the way. And if you are not taking notes, That's the number one thing. You're gonna wanna write things down. Otherwise, you're gonna be like me and probably yourself and just wish you had. So, take the notes now, or you know, it doesn't have to be a podcast that you share with anybody else. It can just be yourself. But you're going to want to remember how you felt the day you earned your black belt. Or if you're like me at red belt and you almost no change twice, missing your board breaks. Mm. But here I am today, all these years later.
Yes, sir.
There you go. That's, write it down.
That's great advice. Keeping those notes. I know I would really love to have some notes back from my early training and be able to see what I was thinking at that point. So great advice. Well, Master Nominee Hoops, it was a pleasure to interview you. Good luck with your training. Keep working hard, and we are excited to watch you go through the mastership ceremony at Fall Nationals this year.
And yourself as well, sir. Thanks for letting me be part of this project.
Certainly, sir. We want to thank Master Nominee Ken Hoops for his time, and we would like to invite you to ask questions about the mastership process. In future episodes, we're going to be talking more about that process, and we're going to be interviewing some other Masters nominees. And so if you have a question about what it takes to become a master, what it means, a question for a specific master nominee maybe, or someone you would like to hear interviewed on the show, reach out to us. Send us a DM on Instagram. You can find us at ATA Nation Podcast on Instagram, and we would love to hear your feedback because we want to include that in the show, and we want to make sure that we are reaching you and getting the interviews and the questions answered that you are interested in. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to some upcoming events.
Here's what's going on in ATA Nation.
We have with us today Mr. Cox from Cox ATA Martial Arts in Texas. He is the host of the third tournament, I think, that's going to be happening in 2021, the Lone Star Championship. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
So, pretty excited about this tournament, huh?
Oh, we're super excited. You know, it's over the last couple of years, it's been one of the biggest tournaments in the U.S., and then this will be our fifth annual one and our third attempt at trying to have it. So definitely excited, a little nervous. It's kind of one of those things where you think it's going to happen and then it doesn't. You think it's going to happen, it does it. So we know it's coming for sure, 100%, but it kind of feels like it might not as well. And it's just that awkward, got to push yourself through that phase. But yeah, we're definitely excited about it. It's happening. It almost seems unreal that it's happening because we've anticipated and planned two other times for it, but we're so excited.
Yes, sir. Well, and then at the time of this recording, you guys just got a big freeze, so I'm sure that was a lot of fun as you're planning for this tournament as well.
Oh, absolutely. Matter of fact, right now as we're talking, you know, we're my team is pulling up my mat in my school right now. We in one of our locations, so we have two commercial locations in a club, and in my main Magnolia location, the whole roof got compromised in our strip center. So we lost our mat and everything. So yeah, the freeze, we without water, without power at my house for 5 days. So it was crazy. But you know what? I'm a very spiritual guy. And I know that when things come at you and try to attack you, that means that you're destined for something great that's about to happen, as it says in scripture. So I know that this tournament coming up and some other things are about to explode and be phenomenal in our lives. And we just got to overcome these obstacles and we're ready for it.
Yes, sir. So if I was interested in coming to Texas, the beautiful state of Texas, for your Class A tournament, you know, this is obviously a new thing. Tournaments in the post-pandemic world or middle pandemic world. What kind of things do I need to know about coming to your event?
Absolutely. So the great thing about what we have is we have a website that's dedicated to the tournament itself, lschamp.com. We've had it since the beginning. It has all the information about the tournament. Has a host hotel, the location of the tournament, the schedule. We're going to be updating some of the forms to download so you can pre-fill out forms awesome. Before you come. And I'll have that updated next week. We don't have any online registration. I wish we did. I wish we would have jumped on that wagon and rocked it out, but we don't. It's all in-person registration. Of course, you can register with your school owners and stuff like that ahead of time. Yes, But if you go to that website, lschamp.com, it'll have all the information. And once you get there, what you're going to find is, you know, definitely click on the host hotel link. There's a code there to get discount if you want. If you don't want to do that, that's fine. But it's a great location, huge facility. And, you know, in this post, you know, or like you said, middle pandemic world, we have a lot of stuff that's happening. And one of the biggest things is when everyone shows up, we're going to ask everybody to fill out a COVID release form before they get their wristband to come in. And so whether you're a spectator or a competitor, everyone will have to get that wristband to come in. Now, once competitors start to compete, they can take that wristband off. That's not a problem. But we just want to make sure that everyone enters, you know, sign that release form. And then there's no limit on spectators or anything like that. But the way it will look a little bit different for us is the mats are going to be, I believe our regulation is between 10 and 15 feet apart. And every mat will be individual. And then all black belts show up in the morning, but colored belts will have set times to show up at the tournament for staging. And we are asking that they just show up 15 minutes before their posted staging time. So, for instance, all 8 and under color belts are scheduled to show up at 9:30. We're asking that they just show up around 9:15, sign the release form, pay their spectator fee if they need to, get their wristband, and then we will send them straight to the staging area, get them ready to go so they can go out. And I think by doing this, it'll be a great flow. It'll be easy to go. And it will help us out tremendously with kind of keeping the crowd levels managed and making everyone feel really comfortable.
Yes.
Another thing too, just like everywhere else, masks are mandated. If you don't feel comfortable wearing a, like, you know, the regular, whatever they're called, N96, 95, 97, whatever they're called, mask. We have like those face shields that look like goggles that kind of come in front of you completely and it's open.
Yes, sir.
That you can wear that instead. You know, outside of that, you know, clean the gear and just having fun and ready to just share life together, man. We're excited.
Oh yeah. By the time this episode goes live, we will have had our first tournament in our region in Fort Wayne. And we're doing very similar to what you guys are doing, kind of the staging times, things like that. We do have to limit the number of people in the building. So we're not able to have, extra spectators, just a family, and then, of course, masks and stuff, which I think we're just going to, you know, we're just going to have to get used to wearing masks for a while. I think that's just going to be part of life. So it sounds
You know,
go ahead.
What I was going to say is, I should have prepped it too. We're allowing as many spectators, but we do have a limited capacity. I think we're at 75% capacity here.
Sure.
But the convention center is like 40,000 square feet. So I don't know. That limit, I don't think we're going to come close to that limit.
Yes,
but
sir.
If for some reason we do, our team is going to be ready to ask spectators, you know, to exit or you know, that, you know, keep one per competitor.
Yes, sir.
But I don't think we're there. But if we do, we're ready for it. There is a small limit, but I think because the venue's so big and how the schedule's going to be out, it shouldn't be that big of a deal. But I think, I don't know if you guys are, but I know we're asking, after you're done competing, if you're not judging any more events, but if you're just done for the day, we're asking that you just go ahead and leave the facility to alleviate space and
yes,
to kind of help things move along.
Yes, sir. Yeah. We're doing very similar, to that. And I think that'll be, you know, I think as people are traveling, as people are going different places, we're going to kind of see this new norm for what a tournament feels like for a little while. Have you had, lot of interest for this tournament? I'm guessing from what we've heard about our Fort Wayne tournament that it feels like it's gonna be huge. Are you guys getting a lot of interest? People are ready to get out onto the floor and start kicking people?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, it's for the first time ever, we have had more people from out of state inquire and call our school than in the 4 or 5 years prior. I actually have a whole group coming from Paraguay.
Oh.
Peru. I'm sorry, Peru. It's a P name. Peru. They're actually flying in like a week and a half early. They don't have to go through a quarantine process because from there the U.S. is required, but they're doing it just to be safe. You know, everyone's always trying to be extra safe
Yes,
now,
sir.
Which is great. Yeah, so they're flying in a week and a half early just to hang out in Texas, Houston, to compete at our tournament. How crazy is that?
That is,
right?
That's amazing. Yeah, I think we're going to see some crazy numbers at tournaments this year because people are just ready to go.
Absolutely. You know, my original instructor, Senior Master Henderson, would always tell me, you know, we got into martial arts to train and compete. You know, we love teaching. I love being a school owner. I'm sure I know you do too. Being a master instructor, of course you do love teaching. But when you first enter a school, you don't enter a school to say, you know what, I think I'm going to make this into a business, or I'm going to teach these tigers, or I'm going to teach these juniors or black belts. Like, when you first start training, all you fall, what falls in love with the sport and the art is the training and the physical exertion, and then showing what you're capable of doing to an audience in competition. That's why we got into it. I mean, that's why we're here. And you can't replace that. I mean, virtual tournaments are amazing. It gives us a venue to do things. In person, though, hearing the people yell and scream and feeling that the tension in your body is so important, because that's why we all fell in love with this.
Yes,
and
sir.
I come from a family of seven siblings, and all the siblings and my dad, we all trained and all got our black belts. And the best time in my life that I can recall is in my childhood, in my teenage years and college years, was traveling to tournaments and sharing love with my competition team.
Yes,
and doing that. And that's why our schools are, it's a staple for us. We're advocates of it, because, man, that's why we got into it, you know. And I think everyone's excited to get back to rocking and rolling for sure. And like I said, the biggest thing, I know we had a tournament this past weekend, and they did a pretty good job. I think it was in Missouri, right?
Yes, sir.
They had pretty good numbers for what they normally would have anyway. And then the biggest thing that I talked to the RTTL there, they were just like, man, people just are blessed to be back together and competing. Mm-hmm. And even though it's, like you said, it's a new norm, limited capacity, limited kind of restrictions as far as our, you know, how we can interact with one another. But it's one great big step towards normalcy. And
yes,
man, it's such a blessing to get back to it for sure.
Exactly. Getting to just get to be around the rest of our family, you know, our ATA family, is amazing. So, I will, encourage people who are listening to go over to lschamp.com, to get all the information, plan your trip, out to the beautiful state of Texas. Maybe get to compete against some guys in, what'd you say, Peru?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That'd be super cool. So,
yeah, we got people everywhere.
Yeah.
Great.
Anything else for our audience to know about your tournament?
Man, that's about it. Just come ready to have a blast.
Yes, sir.
If you're traveling with RVs, there's an RV site because it's right next to a convention. The convention is right next to a fairgrounds. So they have full hookups. I know a lot of people have inquired about that because over the pandemic, I think RV sales went through the roof. So if you're traveling in, if you're flying in, Bush Intercontinental Airport is the closest. There's two huge airports in Houston, but Bush Intercontinental is going to be the closest. And listen, call our school, guys. If anyone has any questions, we are here for you. My staff is ready to help in any way we can. We feel blessed for any support we can get. And like I said, me and my wife, we're just, Ms. Cox, we're just humbled that people are still ready to rock and roll, and know that we take everyone coming, you know, your safety, your security, it's very heavy on our shoulders, and we want to do whatever we can to make people feel comfortable, and we don't take it lightly, and we are excited and blessed to have the opportunity for sure.
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate your time today, and good luck with a great event, sir.
Oh, thank you, Master. You're the best. Appreciate these podcasts and all you do for ATA and how you help spread the visions and values. You are truly a blessing to us, sir. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. What an action-packed episode we had today. Make sure you send us some listener feedback on our Instagram at ATA Nation Podcast. And remember, until next episode, you are ATA Nation. Get out there and take some action.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the ATA Nation Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and share with your ATA family.